This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hello again and welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. My name is Ryan Jones, joined as always by the best Katie. That is Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
Sure, you had a much less exciting evening than Katie Thurston.
I think we all did.
Yes, and we're going to get to Katie v. Greg shortly, but much like the episode, I figured we'd get through the other hometowns first and then focus on the battle that took up basically two-thirds of the entire episode.
This is the least hometowny hometown episode I think we've ever had.
Which is saying a lot, because they've been stretching it for these last few seasons in quarantine, but this definitely hit a whole other level.
Yeah, I mean, we only had one quote-unquote normal hometown date with Blake, and this time we obviously only had three families to go to meet this season. We really only had one normal one, and that was Blake, and that's kind of where we started this episode.
It seems that this is the standard for, hey, if you need to do a Canada hometown, you go to a bar that looks the same in each season, and you put up some flags and talk about maple syrup, and that's pretty much it.
And play some hockey.
Oh, yes, of course. How could I forget hockey?
Yeah.
I think the only interesting note here that we found out about Blake is that he has used maple syrup in the bedroom.
Yeah, I'm not really sure we needed to know that, but I mean, it made for a good nugget of information, I guess, during this date. But I'm not sure we all needed to know that.
Probably not, although I am being a maple syrup lover myself. Maybe not the worst thing in the world, but yeah, probably didn't need to know that. I also appreciated that they continued to lay this groundwork for what we saw with Greg later. The same groundwork they've been laying all season long. And this time it's, hey, why don't we have this hockey portion of the date right outside Greg's bedroom? I'm sure nothing would go wrong.
And look, there happens to be a balcony overlooking the street where you're playing.
This was, like you said, a quote unquote normal date. You know, he had his family there. For some reason, he told Katie, this is Blake, don't worry about being great. You just have to be you. And I'm sure he didn't mean for it to come out that way, but it's not the best thing you want to say to someone.
Yeah, I think he meant it to sound a lot better than it actually came across.
Much like I'm sure when he was telling his mother, oh, it's not just that we have this really hot sexual tension. We're like, we're in a sex positive season, but not sure we need to have your mother in on this conversation.
Exactly. Not the way I would have gone about it.
His sister, I couldn't tell if she was being supportive or trying to talk him out of it, because he's claiming, oh my God, this is the one, I'm head over heels. Meanwhile, she's saying, well, that's funny because Claire was the one before you even met her. Then Tayshia was the one. Now Katie's the one. Katie. So is everyone the one?
Yeah. Yeah, what sets her apart from the other two? All in the last year, really.
Right, exactly. And you know, Blake's mother, I think, started out on that same track at first, because I thought she was going to be one of these mothers that came down with the hammer. But then ultimately, she's like, "Hey, if you're saying all these things, we're going to believe you, but you need to actually do something about it. Because for you to keep saying like, well, I'm waiting for the right time." Like, basically, like, nut up and tell her. Like, you got to get the job done.
You don't have time.
Yeah, which seemed to be, you know, Justin's friend had the sort of the same message. But in Blake's case, like, he seemed, okay, you're right. Like, he didn't say they were wrong. He said, fine, I'm going to do it. And then I...
He doesn't do it.
Feel so good about you. What? I don't.
Yeah,
what
no.
are these words that are coming out of my mouth right now?
I thought he was going to say it because it seemed like the perfect moment And then it just
Womp.
Womp. He lost it.
But in general, it seemed like everything was fine. There was no major blow up. There was no major drama. The people seemed to like him, especially his mother and Blake, other than falling short in, you know, saying what he wanted to say, thought that things went pretty well. And so you're thinking, okay, as we were talking about checking boxes, you can check the box. Like, everything was fine with Blake.
It was fine. Yep.
And then she gets to go to Baltimore. And I say Baltimore with air quotes here. And before we get to the crabs and everything else, we have this conversation of Justin and his mother and father. It sounded like one of those things you see on like a TV show or something like that. And they're just sitting on speakerphone, be like, "Hi, honey, we're just making dinner. What are you up to? Oh, you're on The Bachelorette. Cool." Final three, well, I'd like to, but, you know, it's meatloaf night, and Dad loves meatloaf night, so I don't know.
That's exactly how it was.
I just don't know if we can make it, but listen, tell us how it goes, and we'll catch up later, okay? I'm going to let you go. You know, we've all had that conversation with our parents at some point, but usually it's about, hey, how was your weekend? Not, oh, I might want to get engaged to this woman.
Yeah, can you come out and, you know, be on national television? That's funny. That's exactly how it sounded. We couldn't at least maybe get them on a Zoom, maybe. But it was just like, it was just a phone call, and it was just like, yeah, you know, we support you, but we don't understand how you can, you know, how you can know someone that well in this short amount of time, which is obviously what we hear almost every hometown date. But yeah, they were just like, all right, well, good luck.
We're going to go grab dinner now.
Yeah, have fun.
And I felt so bad for Justin because we've gotten like 5 minutes with Justin all season. Okay. And three of them were him dancing in front of Max. So we've gotten almost nothing with him. And the first time we find out anything about him, it's that his parents are showing no interest in what he's doing right now. I mean, you knew he was coming on the show, and I'm sure, like most people, you know, there are 30 people that are going. So like, what are the odds that he gets that far that we need to go to hometowns? But I just felt so bad that his mother's sitting there, and I don't want to say browbeating him because she sounded so disinterested, but the fact that you're saying, oh, well, I don't think that you can have these feelings so quickly. Like, it doesn't matter what you think.
Yeah.
Like, if you really support your son, at least get on a plane. And I understand with COVID, everything's more complicated, but get on a plane, quarantine, meet this girl. And then if you still feel that way, trust me, ask anyone that's watched the show ever. There are plenty of parents who get on camera and are very open about their distaste for.
Yeah, producers love that.
Exactly. So it sucked that she decided for herself that, and we've all seen it, a lot of parents do this, but for her to make the decision basically for her son, like, no, this can't be real, so we're not coming, I think just sucked for him.
Yeah, I would understand if they, you know, played it up that they couldn't travel or something, or, you know, they had a health risk with flying during this time. Like, that would be more, I think everyone would be more understanding, like, okay, we get it. Like, let's at least meet her over FaceTime or Zoom or something.
Something.
But it was just like nothing. It was just like, oh yeah, we're not coming.
Yeah. And to his credit, when he was telling Katie, and some people might disagree that it's a credit, but he did play it up more towards, I'm so excited you get to meet my friends. They're the people that know me the best. And, you know, because Katie was kind of afterwards in her in the moment was questioning, like, well, can I really get engaged to someone if I've never met their family? And it did seem, I could see from her perspective, that he wasn't exactly telling her the whole story of why they weren't making the trip. Like you said, is it something health related? Is it you know, for some reason, just because of COVID, maybe they're not vaccinated and they don't want to get on an airplane. And there's so many different reasons he could have gave them, but it seemed like he sort of glossed over the fact that they're not going to be there.
Yeah, all he said was they were unable to make it. So, I mean, just being that vague, like Katie was like, I'm worried that maybe he's not, this isn't as serious to him as either it is to me or as it should be. And is he ready for all this? Like, his parents maybe don't think he's taking this seriously. Like, all these things were going through her mind, which is like 100% how it should be. But I think that definitely didn't help Justin in this situation.
Yeah. And unfortunately, even if somehow she ended up with Justin at the end, that's another thing you watch back and you're thinking like, why didn't you just tell me your mother didn't think that this could work? Like, to completely ignore everything she said and not tell me, like, as far as red flags go, that's a pretty big one.
Yeah. I wish ABC would figure out a way that we could watch each episode and just have a camera on the lead at all times.
Oh my God. That would be
their reactions.
Even if it was just the day after on Hulu or something. And, they want to basically have reaction videos of the lead. I would watch that so much more intently than I do the normal episodes, because this scene specifically is just—it's like it would be like director's commentary. If you've ever watched any of those, and you can go on like Disney Plus if you watch any of the Marvel movies or anything, just go to extras and you can watch it. Maybe I'm just a geek that likes it, but you can watch it with the directors and actors talking about the movie. I would love to watch episodes of this. That is a brilliant idea. And this is why you're the best Katie that we're talking about here, because that needs to happen.
Like, just because I obviously they're there, but they don't see everything. And so just to see how everything, you know, played out, like, it just needs to happen.
Oh, 100%. But instead of his parents, we get Herb and what was the other friend's name? I had Herb. Oh, Tommy. Herb and Tommy.
Yeah.
It went in their place, and obviously Katie was disappointed, but you could see her sort of light up when they were basically like, yeah, this dude doesn't act like this ever. And I think that's one of those things that she really appreciated, because if it's just what you do all the time and you're falling into just, oh, well, he's always like this with every woman he's ever met. Hello, Blake. Mm-hmm. The fact that, no, you're special. Like,
we have not seen him like this before.
Right. As opposed to Blake, who apparently loves every woman with a pulse that he's ever seen. You have Justin, who, according to his friends, this is new. And I really think that again, one of the few moments we've seen with Justin, but really seemed to impress Katie.
Yeah, and I think it helped her too, because I think she was going through feeling, you know, so not upset, but kind of bummed out that she wasn't meeting any family. But once she talked to his friends and hearing that, I think it probably helped ease her mind a little bit. I think if she didn't get any of that type of information from his friends, I think, I don't know if he would have lasted until next week.
Sure.
Because it feels like there was just too many uneasy, like, red flags. Like, I don't know your family. How can I be engaged? But hearing that, I think it kind of eased her a little bit.
Right. Although they did agree, apparently, on blue cheese, which is, I guess, a deal breaker. I mean, I like them both, but I would prefer ranch, but I'm fine with both of them. You know, there's a spot that down the street from where we work together that has amazing wings, and I had over the weekend, and I used both. Mm-hmm. I used blue cheese. I used ranch. But if I'm on a date with someone and they choose one over the other,
This is not going to work out.
I know. As soon as she said blue cheese, you would have thought she had told him where he could find like $400 million in gold. He's like, oh my God, turn this around right now. This is incredible. Oh my God, forget everything else.
Not only that, but like, it's not that, like, a lot of people like cheese. It's not like something unheard of.
It's a fine cheese. I mean, come on. So ultimately, he is the only one. Well, I guess we shouldn't say that because Craig did as well. But after Blake didn't say that he was falling in love, his friend sort of bullied him in and be like, yo, there are only 2 weeks left. So what you better tell her. Yeah, exactly. There's no time left. And he did tell her. And maybe this was the response that, and we'll get to that, Craig was looking for. But she did say, I'm proud of you, which in normal circumstances, probably not what you want to hear.
Yeah, yeah, definitely not.
But in Bachelor World, especially when she's made it clear that,
like, saying thank you.
I think proud of you might even be worse than thank you. Thank you for saying that. Oh, great. Why not just kick me in the junk? That's great. So maybe if she would have just said, I'm proud of you to Greg, it would have been okay. But she did say and read it right that, like, I could tell it. Your whole body is telling you, like, don't say this, which is, I guess, a whole other discussion to have. But
like, is that, are you proud of that? Like,
yeah, because she picked up on that and he was proud, or say proud again, but he was happy that she picked up that he didn't even want to say it. So it's just a whole mess.
He said it, I guess, so.
He said it, and they both seem to think an engagement could be very soon. I am not quite as convinced. But maybe, because again, there was, other than, you know, I'm proud of you and his parents not being there, it didn't, there were no, like, they left fine. You know, it wasn't one of those, like, oh, wow, I'm so confused. And all of this leads us to the main event. And I don't know, I mean, we can assume.
By main event, you mean literally in an hour and 45 minutes of a 2-hour episode.
It was something, and that is the Greg one-on-one. And in this case, the one-on-one is Greg, not with Katie, Greg the Katie. And it started so well because I had forgotten, and shame on me, that he was from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Being from New Jersey myself, I wish I was recording when I saw him set up this quote-unquote Jersey date that included a pork roll, egg, and cheese. Mm-hmm. Which, if
are you a fan? Ever,
oh my God. And I called it Taylor Ham growing up, but it's tomato, tomato. It's the same thing. It's just depending on where you live. But if you've never had a pork roll, egg, and cheese, oh my God.
I have not.
Oh, this is, you want to talk about deal breakers? Forget about ranch and blue cheese. This is the deal breaker. And
All right. Oh
my God, so delicious. And so I'm thinking, this is great. Pork roll and cheese. She somehow also has never had an Italian ice, which blew my friggin' mind.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Which also delicious. So, I mean, give me like a good Taylor Ham egg and cheese, a Ralph's Italian ice, and I'm good to go. So this was, I'm thinking, oh, I was sort of lukewarm on Greg.
This was your hometown date.
It really was. And totally lukewarm on Greg as a whole going into this. And we can get to where we are now later. But I'm seeing this and I'm thinking, exactly, this is, I would do all of this. This is incredible. Yeah. All we're missing is like a good slice of pizza. And it's everything New Jersey has to offer. And maybe, you know, a 24/7 diner. We're good. Like, this is great. And they even bonded again over their fathers. And you're thinking, oh, this is going so well.
Yeah.
We've thought
how could this go any differently?
Seriously, we've thought from the beginning that he was the front runner. We've thought that there's no way, you know, maybe Blake could worm his way in and she seemed to get close to a couple guys along the way, but it's Greg. It's always been Greg. And, you know, she's going to meet his mother and her brother and that's going well. And we're going to forgive her for asking if it rains in New Jersey. Try not to throw a flag on that one. We'll let it go. She got caught up in the moment. But
I'm gonna watch video messages from his sister.
Oh my God, his 20 nieces and nephews, which clearly wherever, if they're in New Jersey or elsewhere, apparently there was nothing to do during lockdown except have children, because that was so many children and another one on the way. Because it didn't seem like there were that many brothers and sisters, but there were a whole lot of nieces and nephews. Lots of kids.
Yep.
Whew. But he's getting emotional, and you know, I don't know what he's channeling there, but you know, really deep into the character. And
his brother finding out that he shared stuff about his dad, and,
which he hasn't even talked to him about.
Yeah, he's like, we don't talk about that. Like, and he doesn't really talk to anyone about that. So knowing that you bonded over that, like, that says, you know, that really says something about your relationship.
And, you know, he had said that, listen, I told her that I'm falling in love with her. And, you know, she didn't say it back, but it will be us in the end. I'm so confident. She's shown me why my relationships haven't worked in the past. Everything's great. What do I possibly need?
Greg will be here next week.
Katie's saying everything's great. Greg, and remember this part, Greg is telling his family everything's great. It doesn't matter that she hasn't told me that she's in love with me. Like, would it be great to hear? Sure. But I've heard everything I need to know that we will be together in the end. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
He told his family that.
Yep.
So when Katie and his mother talk, and Katie's making it very clear, he's going to be the one, and Greg's telling his family.
Literally saying that without saying those words.
Right. So because the producer's probably like, listen, I appreciate you helping us out by not just pulling a Claire and ending the season because you know it's Greg.
Yeah.
So for her saying everything but that it's going to be Greg. And Greg, by all accounts, is totally cool with all. And yes, every so often it pops up like, oh, he's the one. There's one every season who gets near the end and freaks out that there are other people on dates.
That realizes what show he's on.
Correct. But other than that, we're the perfect match. Everything's great. No doubt in my mind that it's going to be us in the end. He tells his mother that, like, this is great. He did say I'm serious a lot, which probably was heading down a slippery slope there. Like, no, I'm serious. She's the best. No, I'm serious. We're going to be there at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was like his nervous tic or whatever, but
yeah,
maybe that was the beginning of the end there.
Yeah. It's funny because I started this episode like, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour late, because I started late so I don't have to watch commercials. And I happened to see, I saw something on Twitter like really quick, like it wasn't a spoiler or whatever, but it was like, oh my gosh, something about like Greg leaving. And then so when it came up to his hometown date, I was like, I think someone like got the name wrong or something. I was like, this is like the perfect hometown date. Like, I don't understand what that person was talking about. And I didn't look into it because I didn't want spoilers. Like, I wanted to watch it for myself. But I was like, maybe someone got the name wrong. That doesn't make sense. And then we watched it. It was the perfect date. And then all of a sudden there's 45 minutes left. And I was like, something's supposed to happen. We're not getting into fantasy suites this week. So something's going to happen.
And I'm still not sure what happened, by the way. Let me just...
I don't think anybody knows what happened.
Let me just put that out there. So
I don't think they even know what happened.
It very quickly deteriorated from, and I'm starting high, of she loves him, or she's... basically everything but saying she loves him. He's the one to the family. The family likes her. Everything's great. Greg is saying, she's given me everything I need. This is great. It's going to be us. And then, well, there's going to be an engagement for sure. But I do kind of, it would be great if she told me how she, you know, that she loved me. But, you know, it's going to be us too. I need to hear from her.
And that, if you don't, I'm leaving.
Like, why right at this moment do you need all of this all of a sudden.
It was crazy how fast like everything snowballed into, yeah, I'm done with this, I'm leaving. Like, I mean, and that's honestly, that's a red flag too. Like if you get into a disagreement and your default is going to be like, I'm leaving.
Boop, just then, flips the switch.
Yeah, then that should not be what you're after.
And I get that he...
It was just so fast.
Oh my God.
What is happening?
And it's a big thing to be talking about your father, who was clearly, you know, the most important person in your life. And mm-hmm. Katie can relate to that. So for him to be saying that and, you know, I didn't think I would ever have that part of my heart again. And just like, I get it. And so I can understand to this point, all the way to this point, everyone's like, Greg. All right, cool. And yes, when he says, you know, I'm in love with you. I don't want anyone in my life but you. Oh my God, this is incredible. And there's a silence, which appeared to be legitimate. It did not appear to be
edited
to make it seem like, because the camera was on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she smiled. Again, not great. And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love looking at you. Okay.
Could have been worse.
Could have been better. Totally get that. Now, just putting that out there, I understand people who have some issues with how Katie handled that particular response.
Mm-hmm.
She could have just said the same thing almost that she said to Justin. Oh my God, that's so brave of you to say that, you know, to compare me to the importance in your life of your father. Could have said any of that. And I get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But to me, there's no excuse, no matter how bad Katie's response was to that. And I, again, wholeheartedly will agree to that, that this was not a good response.
Yeah, not the best.
There is zero reason for him to react the way that he did, because immediately,
agreed,
switch off. And it was, you want to talk about a different person, which he was totally deflecting. He was right in that moment, 100% a different person.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. It was definitely, I mean, if I were her, it would be definitely concerning to me. But like she kept hinting that it's going to be you. Like, it's you. I just can't say it's you right now.
I mean, even more than hinting, she said, we're moving to New York. Like, they already talked about moving there. When Blake said, like, oh, move to Canada, she's like, yeah, maybe we'll see. They didn't even talk about it with Justin. They're moving to friggin' New York.
Like, yeah, and when she just kept saying, you know how I feel about you. We're almost there. Hang in there. I keep telling you that. What was the other thing she said? Oh, she's like, he's like, I can't be here if you don't think it's me. And she starts to say, I promise. Like, I promise. I mean, she stops herself, but she's basically going to say, I promise it's you.
She even mentioned how awkward it was meeting other families. The only reason it would be awkward meeting other families for her, not for him, for her, is if she's already decided that she's going to pick him. And I get being upset that, well, then why are you still here? Mm-hmm. And if you have an issue with her playing, quote unquote, the game and being the bachelorette, and you just saw Claire peace out on her season, and mm-hmm. you saw Colton peace out on his season, so you're saying, well, why do we need to go through that? And that's fine, but that's more of a Greg problem than it is a Katie problem.
Yes.
And
she basically told him everything, saying that it's him without saying, I'm choosing you.
Yeah.
And I do understand Greg's whole thing, like, why would you keep going, like, fantasy suites and stuff like that. I do understand that, but also, like, this is the show that you're on. Like, this is how you do it.
And you have her saying, trust me.
Yeah.
And you and said all along, really, you trust her.
Yeah. And if she really does know that it's you, then you have to trust her that, you know, if she does go into fantasy suites with the other two, like, you just have to trust that you know where your relationship is. And that's not.
So they just go into this weird back and forth. You know, they stop in a room where they, for some reason, the lights off means they can't hear us. It was very confusing. But they keep going back and forth. And I watched it all before going back and seeing the reaction of social media. Because, again, I was, like you, I watched it on delay. Mm-hmm. And so they're going back and forth. And I'm baffled. I'm watching this and I don't understand. Like, I even have in my notes, what is happening?
Yeah.
Because, you know,
when you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Oh, I never thought you were holding back until now. And she's like, what? Like, I never felt you wanted to give up until now. And he just kept everything she said. He had this nasty response. Mm-hmm. And so I'm watching this and, you know, Greg's in the moment saying, well, I'm confused. I'm like, bro, you're confused.
You're the one who made this confusing.
Like, yes, she did not have the best response to what you said to her, but you're flat out being abusive right now. And so I'm going back to Twitter, and I understand not the best place for reality, but I was like, let me just see. Oh my God, everyone's going to be flaming Greg. This is going to be so great. Because I was so irrationally upset from a reality show. Like, yeah. I'm sitting there at whatever it was, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, whatever it was, and I'm fuming. I'm sitting by myself on the couch, fuming. Like, this friggin' idiot. Oh my, and just, I just should not be this upset over a reality show. And I get that.
Yeah.
But just so, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see all these people. And I'm watching, and so then I go scroll back to real time when it's happening.
Yeah.
And you still have people not only defending Greg, but going after Katie.
Mm-hmm. I did the same thing as you. I was like, I'm looking it up. And then when I definitely saw people defending Katie and like,
totally.
We are like, it wasn't all against her.
No.
But the amount of people that were saying it's Katie's fault for giving, you know, the wrong reaction to that and everything. I was like, did we all just watch this? I was like, did I miss something? Like, did I miss something that I was supposed to see and Katie did something wrong or something? And then I was like, nope, it was just ridiculous.
And unfortunately, our friend Nick Vial was sort of leading this idea, and not so much totally anti-Katie, but he was one of the hundreds that retweeted this concept of, I feel really icky the way swaths of Bachelor Nation rush to pick sides and deduce who is bad and who is good. Sometimes people are just people, and they do good and crappy things, and they have emotions, and they hurt each other without malice. Fine. But too many people were then using that as a way to defend what Greg did. Mm-hmm. And I feel, and I'm going to get on the soapbox, mm-hmm. and I apologize for that, but I feel like people who were defending Greg, and you want to play that because you want to play the both sides, you know, the both sidesism doesn't really work for me really ever, but especially here. I feel like the people who are pro Greg after this have no idea what an abusive relationship looks like.
Agreed.
And this is a dude who, and if you want to use gaslighting or whatever, that's fine because it's all true. But people were, again, trying to be like, yeah, that's not what he was doing. Everything she said, he was biting her head off. He was making it seem like this was all her fault. For what? One bad line, if you will? He didn't, because she didn't respond exactly how you wanted her to at that exact moment.
And it wasn't even bad.
And it wasn't like, even that bad. It was,
yeah.
It was awkward. It was not great. It was weird, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't like she insulted your father. Like,
yeah, but it was crazy. Like I saw some people say, "Oh, it's good to see like this is how my relationship is." So it's like this is like they're showing a real relationship, and I'm like, maybe you shouldn't be in that relationship. Like this isn't In my mind, this is not a normal relationship.
100%. That is perfectly put, because if you look at what happened with these two, that's a great point. And you're relating to that, specifically how Greg was acting. Mm-hmm. That's a bad sign.
That's a problem.
And if you're right, and if it's the other way, then you're the person as you're acting like
you're
Greg.
Doing
and,
that.
Then you're exactly. So either way, you're either the abuser or the abusee. And guess what? Both of those are situations you need to get out of. And you've, mm-hmm. I can't look at this any other way than this is a dude who manipulates people, specifically, as we're seeing, people that he dates, because he went 0 to 60 and just flipped the switch off.
Just like
and,
that.
Now, we've made fun of his acting in the past because he took acting classes. And, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking before about how, you know, this, oh, his acting coach, you know, must be so proud of this monologue he was given. I mm-hmm. felt like he went to an audition for a comedy and brought a monologue for, like, a super drama or whatever. Like, he was just so off base. It made what he was saying made no sense with what actually we saw, and yes, I understand editing is involved, but mm-hmm. it's hard for me in under any circumstances to be able to justify how Greg acted in this episode. And I'm trying unsuccessfully to wrap my head around how anyone is pro-Greg after this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She runs after him and hugs him, and I'm thinking, what has he done to you? And
well, I think she was just like in the, I don't think she knew what was happening. I think it was all very fast for her. Like, I don't think she was expecting something to blow up like this. Like, I'm sure now when she looks back, she's like, you know, thank God I dodged that bullet. And she kind of like, she did put like, and put some gaslighting stuff out yesterday on Instagram or after the episode. I think she definitely knows now that probably wasn't, that she avoided, dodged a bullet.
Yeah. And the best, and I mean that in the way of the worst, people defending Greg are the ones of, oh, well, good for him for standing up to her for, you know, playing the quote unquote game of the show, because he doesn't care about a rose and he doesn't care about rankings and he doesn't, like, you're defining what she's saying. And for her, she's basically telling you, we're going to be together. We're going to move to New York, all this, but we're going to go through the process. I came here to be the bachelorette. We're going to go through the process. She made this clear 2 months ago. She made this clear 7 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. To me, her messaging, if you will, hasn't changed. We're going to the end.
Yep.
This is happening. I will give you all of the code words that you need to feel better, the validation, the all the drinking game words. But mm-hmm. this is happening. We are taking this. We are taking this season to the end.
Yeah.
And you've been here for the ride, and you've been okay with it the whole way. And again, not okay with it all the time, but okay enough to stick around. But now, mm-hmm. at this moment, because she didn't respond to you the way you wanted her and needed her to, I'm kidding.
She. It's not like you spilled your heart like that and she turned you down and you got upset.
Correct.
Like she didn't turn you down. She's not sending you home. She's telling you that you're making it to next week. Like, it's not like she's sending you home after you met
yeah.
your family and spilled your heart out. Like, you just expected a different answer. She didn't give it to you, and now you're mad. And
it's just, it was so...
I hated when he was like, I deserve more.
You don't deserve crap, man!
Like, are you kidding me? Like, maybe, like, the situations would be different if this was real life and not on this show. Like sure. if you were ready to get engaged and she didn't want to say I love you because she didn't feel like that yet, like, okay, that's a whole nother thing. But
100%
Bachelorette.
Yes.
Like, this is the you know what this show is. And, like, you know that, I mean, really, until, like, Ben Higgins, like, you weren't supposed to say love. Like, you're not supposed to say I love you until the end. And after Ben, I think, you know, more people went, I'm just going to say I love you to, you know, these two or three people. But Katie decided to wait till the end, which, perfect. Like, good for you. That's fine. But, like, this is not regular life. Like, this is The Bachelorette, and this is the show that you definitely should know it by now. Like, you're in week whatever, 7 or whatever this is, 9. I don't know.
And when she had to explain to him again, I told your mother this, I will tell you this, you know this, like, I'm telling one person at the end that I love them. I'm not running around telling multiple people this. We know this. This is out there. And somehow then that continued to get him angry, and he then fawns, like, or feigns this, like, he was being attacked of, like, it pains me to think that that's what you think I was asking for. You literally just said that's what you were asking for.
Yeah.
Literally. And that's used properly because you asked specifically for that.
Yeah.
So
this is another thing that I thought about was, do you think he really didn't want to be at the end? And, like, he all of a sudden, like, because he started getting, like, pretty sad, like, the later weeks. Like, do you think he's just like, oh, my family actually loves her and she loves my family. And now she's saying that I'm basically going to be the one at the end of this. And I don't know if I want that. So I got to do some damage control.
I think that's possible. I do. I think, especially how quickly, and he could just be a sociopath, but with how quickly he dipped into his bag of tricks, again, A, there's the fact that he could be a sociopath. He could just be a serial abuser. Or C, he could have wanted to sort of hit eject and just did a really crappy job at it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think you need to act like a petulant child to do it. I think he could have used one of a million much better ways to get out of there, the same way Andrew did, the same way Michael did. Now, obviously, he doesn't have the child to use as the reasoning, but he could have come up with a more, oh, my God, this could have been great. But, you know, he could have said it was, you know, because clearly it's true. It's for his mental health. He just can't do this anymore. He needs to go home. I need to remove myself at this point. All of that would have been better than
what he
did to her, because she would basically say a million times, and that time I don't mean it literally, but she would say it over and over, like, I was listening. No, you weren't.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I hear what you're saying, and I feel it. I know you don't. Like, what are you? And then
whatever,
she
dude. Can,
she continued, and it pained me for her because not only in the room, but then when she ran after him, she continued to apologize, and I just, you know, we've all seen it, whether we were in that relationship or we've seen friends in that relationship. Mm-hmm. It's a crappy relationship. It's a bad place to be. You see this person, and it goes both ways, girls and guys. You see them going through, and this is the hallmark. The, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But you did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And you, it's still not good enough for them because they just want to make you feel like crap. And so I have no words beyond that, and I can't even make something up in my mind. And there's someone listening who is yelling right now, like, no, Greg was this. I can't, and I saw a lot of them on Twitter last night, but none of them made sense to me, the people who were like, yay, Greg for Bachelor. Yay. Greg for learn how to be in a healthy relationship, because that was so uncalled for. And if you think this was the first time he's ever acted like this towards a woman, whether he was trying to get himself sent home or not, mm-hmm. that there's no way this is the first time he's ever acted this way towards a woman.
Yeah. I hope he's not the Bachelor. After this episode.
How miserable would that be? Because
be a slow season, even if this didn't happen, just because,
right.
You know.
Yeah, well, listen, because he's more or less he's boring, and we now find out the one time he's or the times he's not going to be boring are the times when he's abusive. So like, oh, that's great. So definitely someone you want to hitch your wagons to. Like, good job, guys. So no, I'm hoping that that's just people who for some reason are like blinders on for Greg.
Yeah.
And all of this leads us to the line that we've seen teased from the beginning, and that is, you know, I need someone to book my flight home. Literally like the last line of the show. It wasn't even where they showed it originally with her walking away. That was just her saying, I'm done.
Yeah. We got the, I want someone to book my flight home. She finally let Caitlin in the room for a little bit to talk.
So here I have a question for you. How do you think, because obviously at that point we could edit for forever. She could have been in there for an hour. Do you think, A, Caitlin was the first person to try to knock on the door and talk to her? And B, if not, how many people do you think they went through before they got to Caitlin?
I think probably a producer tried first. And then when she wasn't talking, they were like, okay, let's try Caitlin or Tasia or whatever. Let's try one of them and see if we can get anywhere. So maybe one or two producers and then Caitlin. I don't think Caitlin was first. I think they'd have to give her a call.
Yeah, I think Caitlin, by the way, did an amazing job. Mm-hmm. This was the perfect example of something Chris Harrison would never know how to handle.
Right.
And he's been through some wars, if you will, in Bachelor Nation.
He's good at sit-down talks, but, you know, begging outside a door of a crying bachelorette, I don't think so.
And, you know, first Caitlin went down the, you know, well, do you think there's anything that can be salvaged here? And then when that became pretty clear, no, she gave something relatable. That, you know, I had that moment on my season. I was crying into my salad. In this case, you're crying on the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
And we got, I think, the realest thing from Katie of, like, how am I supposed to date other people when, or I'm supposed to be dating other people and building these relationships when I just had, like, the biggest heartbreak of my life. And I was just on camera saying I'm in love with this dude.
Yeah.
What do I do with that?
Oh, the poor guy she ends up with.
Well, and
not only this, but Andrew S. and just like
and Michael
A.
So,
oh man.
You know, we're told that after you know, it's book my flight home. And then because next week, the emotional conclusion, and it shows Caitlin and Tayshia talking to the guys saying, you know, this will change everything. Then that's followed up with like a weird, like in memoriam for her and Greg's relationship. And I've seen this used before on The Walking Dead where, and there are jokes to be made in there, but
where
you weren't sure if someone was dead a couple times. And because after their post show, they would do like an in memoriam for the people that did die. And for the we're not sure if they're dead or not, they sort of made light of it, which that's how I took this in memoriam, was like poking fun at it, which started to get me upset again, because then I'm like, oh crap, are you telling me that after all that, she's still gonna find a way to take him back?
Hope not. That's
you hope not. But if I told you, especially after seeing that sort of manipulation, if I told you that this unbelievable season finale ended with her and Greg somehow back together, whether on the show or after the show, would you really be that surprised?
No.
And I'm worried that that's going to happen.
Guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, and it also has me concerned that, oh crap, me at this point, if it's not, and I'm hoping it's not, Greg, that means it has to be Blake, right? Because it's certainly not going to be Justin. No offense, Justin, or offense, whatever.
Yeah, but. It's
going to be Blake. the unbelievable season finale.
We need a live camera of Blake watching this season. That's where the TV gold is.
What's that, a boudet? So before we get all the Greg stans hate mailing, is there anything else you'd like to include as a post script to this episode?
I don't think so. I think we said what we needed to say. We're going to have people that disagree, but
that's what we're here for, folks.
That's the point of podcast.
That's right. And so we'll find out next week whether she's with Blake or whether she's with Greg or whether she's with no one, which would make her shoot down of Michael A even worse from last week if she's with no one. I'm just, because I'm a masochist, I'm going to say that she is with Greg, and that's my prediction for the finale.
Mine's going to be Blake, I think.
Well, I hope you're right. You usually are, and I hope you are.
I think it's going to be Blake, and I'm curious to see how it ends up there. Anyone who she ends up with.
If she's with Blake, that conversation on After the Final Rose is going to be fascinating. Fascinating.
The most dramatic ever.
Oh my God, totally. So we will see next week. Is there anything other than Greg being a douche that we need to talk about?
Not really. There is a rumor of Chris Harrison joining the cast of Dancing with the Stars, possibly.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, some of the people they've put on there, I was going to say, like, could they really? But considering some of the people they've put on there with their backgrounds, yeah, I think he'd be okay.
Yeah, it may happen. He hasn't been denying it, so that's possible. Caitlin and Jason have already set a wedding date of early next summer, and they want to start having babies ASAP.
As in before the wedding?
No, after the wedding.
Okay. Well, listen, guys, we expect our invitations. Invitations should be in the mail. Let's get them out here. Come on.
We should be expecting it.
100%.
And that's it. It was a slow news week.
Well, I think Katie and Greg certainly made up for that. And, you know, and honestly, you know, we've, through these last quarantine seasons, more or less, as much as we like the show, the episodes have been like very so-so. And as much as it got me upset to see how Greg was acting, this was probably the best episode we've seen in a while, just because we actually got stuff out there and it wasn't
emotions.
Yeah, it wasn't just sort of going through the motions as much. Again, wish it didn't have to be with what we saw from Greg, but there was definitely a lot in here, and we haven't seen that too much with these last few quarantine seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it all ends next week. You can
3 long hours.
And you can find us at Bachelor Podcast on socials to yell at us, especially if you are Team Greg for some reason. But we will be back here next week. Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see y'all next week.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.